Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to the Brocast. I'm David Woods, joined by Tracy Pearson as always, and special guest, head of the Men of Westwood and champion of Westwood NIL Collectives, Ken Grayworth. Ken, very excited to have you on.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Are you happy though, Ken?
I don't know.
Yeah, there's that was nice really of you to say.
Yeah, let's see how it goes.
Exactly.
Well, there's obviously a ton to talk about. I actually want to go off the beaten path a little bit because I mentioned it up top, champion of Westwood. But the other, I mean, we're going to get into the basketball situation, football situation in terms of NIL. But I'm interested, how competitive are, if you like, in terms of competitive situations for other sports, is NIL right now? Like women's basketball or even just baseball or whatever it is. Are those getting competitive, or is it more about just kind of, you know, finding a way to compensate some players for their likeness?
So it's definitely needs to be, right? We need to get there. Right now we are, I wouldn't say competitive, I would say we're treading water. But establishing it was paramount to the future success of them. You know, we've lost baseball players over the last couple of years to NIL, specifically a couple of players to LSU. We lost a couple of softball players. Women's basketball has been very fortunate. And so we, I guess it's just kismet, right, that we started champion of Westwood in arguably the best season women's basketball has had in a long time. So, you know, we have every woman signed to a deal with champion of Westwood. We just started doing baseball. We'll make a push when the season starts with that, or when it gets closer to the season starting. But we have, I think, 8 guys currently under contract with us. And we'll try to expand that offering as well. And we will try to work into other sports as well, but there's only so many hours in the day. And, you know, as you said, we'll get into the two big fish, but until those are swimming, you know, downstream instead of, you know, in a boat with us going upstream with a hole in the bottom of the kayak and no paddles. There's only so much we can do.
You really went with that analogy there, Ken. I like it.
I try. I have to keep up with the two of you.
Yeah. We're metaphoric.
Yeah, you're painting a picture. All right. Well, let's start getting into it. So we've kind of broad stroked it for a lot of broad stroked. It doesn't sound very good, but we've kind of given the broad strokes of football and basketball's kind of competitive situation on the board. But maybe we start with that kind of an overview of where you kind of see the two programs in terms of their NIL competitive position right now.
I would say that basketball is competitive. It will never be enough. Let's just start right there. And everything, you know, you hear from whether it's you guys or, you know, more specifically coach, serves a purpose, right? Mick's job is to make his program the best he can do. He's not laying on his laurels. So he wants everything and then some. So, you know, we've been very competitive so far in terms of the what we've been able to keep and what we've been able to acquire. That being said, yes, we did miss out on some transfer possibilities. because of the way that we wanted to conduct business versus, you know, making sure that we didn't miss a payment. And I would say that that's key, right? The concept here is the second we miss a payment or we lie to a player, we are forever doomed, right? Then we're the group that doesn't hold its water, you know, going back to our boat going upstream, right? but that's paramount to us. So we could have potentially negotiated or, you know, gotten some other players and not necessarily had the funds in the bank at the time. We don't want to operate like that. We want to operate where we have every dollar for every player that we have promised them. We want to make sure we have dollars in the account for emergency situations to take care of kids and families when those situations potentially arise. So, you know, we definitely need more. Now, that being said, I think you can see, regardless on the results on the court so far, the fact is we do have a boatload of talent, and every member of the men's basketball team has a significant NIL deal with us. Football's another story, unfortunately. And, you know, there's a couple ways that I think we should say it. First of all, at the end of the day, right, we started this because we're fans. And every fan has the right to say what he wants to say or her and feel the way they want to feel. So that being said, you know, you also then take a look at what NIL is, right? So I think there's a misnomer or a miscommunication about it within our fan base a little bit, in terms of really what it is and what it's supposed to be and how it's supposed to be there, right? It's pay for play in a large extent of it. That's exactly what it is. We do not operate like that, and we will never operate like that. So I think before we even get into that discussion, maybe I should briefly explain how the system works, at least for us, right?
And the role of UCLA and compliance.
So
coaching staff, your relationship with the coaching staff, all of that. Yes.
Okay. So you guys just interrupt in questions, and, you know, as Tracy knows, has gotten to know me, I can get on a soapbox and go for a long time. So, you know, first of all, before we even start about how the system works, let's just talk about the fundamental flaw of the system, right? Our business is predicated on a product we cannot control or fix. I mean, I think we need to understand that first and foremost, right? Our job is to take care of the student athlete. So if the program that student athlete is, you know, residing in isn't doing what we want it to do, or as fans, again, we can't fix it. I can't change a coach. I can't change a rotation. I think you all would laugh if I even tried to tell Mick Cronin who to play and who not to play.
I would love to be there for that.
That might be my last moment on Earth.
That's why I would like to get that on film.
Yeah, right? It's a half GM. It's not even a full blown GM, because you can't make decisions like that. You can't influence the thing on the field.
Correct. Right. So we're operating it as, for lack of a better way of putting it, Men of Westwood and Champion of Westwood has been built as a marketing talent agency. Right. So that's what we are. We are paying players or student athletes for their name, image, and likeness, their marketing rights. And we have no control of what they're doing in their craft, right? That's first and foremost. The second thing we don't have any kind of benefit from is, if you think of it from a business model perspective, it's the worst business model in the world, right? Because we don't profit off anything they're doing. And that's kind of where that the disconnect comes in right now as well, right? If our football program played last night in the Alamo Bowl instead of playing in the LA Bowl, that's millions of dollars more that don't go to Men of Westwood or Champion of Westwood, right? They don't come into us. they go into the athletic department. So if the athletic department isn't doing the job properly that we feel in terms of how to promote this new world order, I can't do anything to fix it, right? If there's a salesperson who isn't selling the university or athletics, or someone who isn't selling tickets the right way, right? We can't do anything about it. We can give no performance review for the powers that control how our business operates. So it's fundamentally flawed, right? That's how I started it. And so I kind of wanted to explain that from that standpoint.
That would drive, I'm going to pause right there. That would drive me insane. Where's the craziness level for you right now? Like on a scale
from he's there. I know he's there.
Like perfectly sane, completely normal, like Carl Durrell one, to floridly insane. We'll just leave a coach, whoever we want to name there, up here.
I would tell you that Mick Cronin's most angry face would be a happy day for me.
Okay, good. Anyway, please continue.
I get calls from Ken on like the ninth green, you know, yeah, where it should be his happy place, and it's not.
Yeah, that's a whole different podcast right there. So going back to it, so I wanted our fans to understand that in and of itself, right? That's where it starts. So all of our players sign a contract with us, and that is very key here, right? So it's a legal binding contract. We have an attorney on staff who has helped us template out different kinds of contracts. And in the contract, it specifically lays out all the possibilities of what can be, what the athlete responsibilities could entail. And there's some negotiation that goes on up front. You know, I don't want to do 100 social media posts. I only want to do 50. You know, I don't want to do a podcast with Dave Woods. Right, exactly.
What is the going rate for a podcast with Dave Woods these days?
Well, it all depends on all depends. Well, it's a negative. It's a negative for me right now.
Dave, so, you could be upwards, and you don't have to comment on this, Ken, but you could be upwards of maybe worth $250,000.
That feels like, I mean, I've always felt that. I felt, you know, 10
you
to 15 minutes
of me.
You should
just put the price tag on your forehead during Zoom.
This is high value time.
Yeah, no, it's fine. And so that's a key component here, right? Is that they have a contract with us. And the other thing, and again, we are all, you know, members of the Bruin Report community, so it's not like we don't kind of snoop around at times. But any news on or report on any player in terms of their dollar value or what they did do or didn't do, I'm going to tell you right now, is completely and totally unsubstantiated and potentially just rumors. Because I am the only one in our group, in our, you know, our collective, that actually signs the contract and sees the full numbers. Now, my partners and the people that help us, they have a general idea. And, you know, a couple of the guys who helped start this with me know more than others, but we really wanted to make this a point where we wanted to control the confidentiality of every deal. If anything is leaked, it comes from one of two places. One, the athlete, which means they're in violation of their agreement because it's confidential, or the possibility, again, because you guys mentioned it, is UCLA. So UCLA is involved. Whenever we sign a contract, we submit that contract to compliance. So it's in the system. So no one can say this person got, you know, X dollars in what they do, right? So that's the key thing, is that we're in control of what they're supposed to do. We're in control of what the value we associate with a player is, right? UCLA can't say, you know, Tracy, using your number, that it's worth $250,000 for someone to talk to Dave Woods. It should be worth, you know, $2.50. That's not their job. That's my job. That's our job as the collective or the agency, you know, however you want to phrase us.
Now, really fast, interrupting here.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of what I want to use this for, what we're doing here, is to get we keep having repeat questions, as you know, Ken, on our forum about how Men of Westwood functions. How is that price determined?
Price is determined, from different levels, right? One is, it's obviously we have to negotiate against the black box that is college athletics right now, right? So what a player can get from a competitor or the competition, we have a general idea. The programs are allowed to help tell us, you know, what they believe people are worth just from their marketability standpoint. And then we take an analysis in terms of what they can do to help promote us and the program from the standpoint of, you know, where they are social media wise, where they are in, you know, the ether of college athletics, right? How popular they are, you know, what a brand can do, right? The whole thought of this is, again, you know, and we can get more into this in a second, but when this started a couple of years ago, a lot of collectives went to the charity model. We did not, because of the IRS. And honestly, it's my ass on the line, and it's, you know, our dollars over here, and we're not willing to take that risk. We have charitable partners, and they are actually starting to pull back from what they can do. And when you get into the charity aspect, right, it's real easy to get money into a charity. It's real difficult to get money out of the charity from the standpoint of, you know, what a player wants to do or what a player wants to get, right? If we were paying a player $100,000, it's very easy for me to justify a marketing aspect to get that paid. It's very hard for a charity to say, we're going to have an 18-year-old appear at the Boys and Girls Club for 30 minutes and we're going to pay him $100,000. That might be, we need him to do 20 appearances for $5,000. And then you start running into, you know, the people going, well, UCLA makes us do 20 times the amount of work that Arizona does or something. So it is our job to figure out the dollars, to figure out the budgets, right?
But and when you do, oh, sorry to interrupt again.
Yeah, yeah, please.
You talked a lot about how that price is determined from external factors. I would think a lot of it is internal. You have this massive spreadsheet. You know what your budget is. You have a slot for a level of player, the position, and how much you can afford to pay them. Would that be accurate?
That would be 100% accurate.
Okay. Yeah. So a lot of the factors that determine the price have to do with how much NIL money you have at your disposal, how much you're already paying out, how much could be coming in soon. So a lot of it is internal, just not this player's market value.
Correct. No, that's 100% true. You know, and then we have, right, then you have the big unknown, which again goes back to the fan aspect of all this, right? Which is, we make a deal, and I'm just going to, you know, say, you know, we make a deal with Dylan Andrews, and we're paying him, you know, X, and Dylan Andrews doesn't perform the way some of our fans, you know, want, or the basketball program, you know, flounders or is worse, or, you know, any program, it could be any player, any program, right? And the, you know, we've had a lot of this right now with football, let's just be honest. You know, versus pretending where we're going, right? Where we have a lot of upset fans about the trajectory of the football program.
So you would say that's not just bros who are upset. Okay, good. I just wanted to qualify that, because there is this weird thing. We have an outsider here, Dave. So I want to define that some of the dissatisfaction with the football program is not, it's not fully contained within bros forum.
No, I mean, we have both sides of the ledger, right? We have some people that are completely okay with it, and you have some people who are completely not okay with it. And what I would say to all our fans is that, you know, when we've had you know, we've had conversations with people directly. Obviously, I know it's been wildfire on the board in terms of that we're going to hold money back. You know, we're not going to support until a regime change or until this is done or that. And the fact of the matter is, I don't care if it's Chip Kelly. I don't care if it's Mick Cronin. I don't care, you know, who the coach is at the time, whenever. At the end of the day, you're not screwing them. They're walking away as multimillionaires. We are literally, once we've made the commitment to a kid and people are like, I'm going to show the coach because I'm going to teach him a lesson. We're not teaching him a lesson. We can't teach the coach a lesson. What we're doing is actually biting our nose off to spite our face. And I hate to say it like that, because again, at the end of the day, I'm a fan. You know, Tracy and Dave, you know me well. You know that I'm at every home game. I'm at the majority of road games for both basketball and football. You know, it sucks getting on a plane, going and thinking we're the underdogs. We're not going to win today. I'm there with our fan base. But at the end of the day, for us to make it better, we can't be the ones always, you know, hurting the kids here, right? The story is completely different when you talk about that. We've had this year, for example, in football, we helped a couple of players. Their NIL deal was literally to have mom and dad come to every game. Otherwise, they couldn't afford to come, right? So taking that away from someone, we don't know the end result down the line of if we start pulling back or not fulfilling these obligations, how it impacts the next coach, right? Now, obviously,
on that note, Ken, yeah, there has been talk, and I really want you to clarify this. There has been talk that Men of Westwood reneged on some payments, and I
Men of Westwood has not missed a payment to date.
There we go. I know. As soon as that's posted, I get an immediate text from Ken.
Men of Westwood has not. Now, was there a player or two that we did not fulfill their complete contract? Yes, we did. Yeah, we did not. You know, yes, we did not fulfill their contract because they were in violation of their contract. I will not talk about who.
They didn't fulfill the requirements of the contract, so you did not pay them. You were very willing to pay them. You had the money available. They refused.
Correct. We will not sign a deal. The deals that are on paper, again, they are legal binding contracts. We will not sign a deal, whether it's $1 or $100 million, right? And obviously we're not doing $100 million, but you get my point. Any number that goes on a piece of paper, we are legally liable for. So we are not going to do anything to renege and have the possibility of opening up a lawsuit against us, it will be against us, but ultimately it would hurt our university, right?
I'm going off on a little bit of tangent. Yeah. In the environment that we are in, we're talking about just pure pay for play. Are you seeing that out there in the rest of college sports that many players and recruits are expecting straight pay for play, not having to do anything to fulfill their contract? And with you and UCLA doing it by the letter of the law and compliance, that is, I mean, it's like it used to be UCLA didn't cheat and the rest of the country did. So that was an issue. And right now, are you seeing that you won't cheat, UCLA won't cheat, but the rest of the country is straight pay for play? Not the rest, a good portion, would you say?
I would say it this way. Again, an athlete doesn't get to our desk or get in contact with us until it's like vetted through the specific program he or she is going to be enrolled into. So the programs, whether it's basketball, you know, men's or women's, football, baseball, whatever, I think they do a lot of that vetting for us up front. So we, you know, the issues we've had are been, you know, very few, right? They're the exception to the rule. And when we also say, you know, work, we're not having them go 9 to 5, you know, and, you know, intern for Dave Woods on a daily basis. We're literally saying, hey, do a 10 or 15 minute interview with Dave Woods, promote yourself, right?
Can I get an intern through Men of Westwood though?
Yeah, I'm sure you could.
That's the issue too, which I find really amazing. You do a 10 minute interview with Dave Woods, which I mean, let's, you know, Dave throws out softball questions. Easy, nice, easy interview.
It's a pleasant experience for everyone.
Pleasant experience. And you can do it from your dorm room. I mean, what? Jalen Clark didn't get out of bed, pretty much.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
He was great.
Not only do you make money for doing that, and as you said, a wide range of money, you are promoting yourself. You're helping getting your face out there to help your own marketability.
Correct.
Yes. I just want to. So this is what some players have refused to do.
Yes. I mean, yes. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to lie and sugarcoat it. And that has been issues. You know, we've also asked people to do some social media posts and they don't want to do social media posts. That also being said, our contracts are non-exclusive. Right. So we have some corporate sponsors now. The players know that they can get more money on top of what they're contracted for. If they help that, you know, the ad agency type component of the business, right? It's all built into the contract, but because it's non-exclusive, some players, have come to us and said, look, you know, we have our own side deal with Coke, and we know Pepsi is a sponsor of Men of Westwood. That hurts our own individual brand. So we don't hold that against them. We say, okay, you don't need to do that one. We'll ask you, can you, you know, go and contribute and do something, you know, help us promote a different product. You know, right now we have a clothing deal with Page, which is a marketing deal, where they're outfitting our men's and women's basketball team, and they're generously contributing a significant amount of advertising spend with us. And we've had a couple of players who are like, you know, I have this deal. So I don't want to wear their jeans, but I don't want to wear their top because I have to wear another brand sweatshirt. So we're fine with all that. Again, it's as long as it's communicated up front. But again, when it's a standpoint of, hey, we need you to, promote, you know, X, or can you just, you know, can you tweet about or post an Instagram to say, you know, thank you to Men of Westwood supporters, or thank you to the bro community for giving a dollar. And they're like, no, well, you know, if you can't literally do that and you're all teenagers, and I have a couple of those, and I'm well aware that they, you know, their phone is a new appendage. So to tell me that you're too busy for that, that doesn't fly for us. But you know, it's a very interesting dichotomy here of where a player wants to do something, can do it. We have people who are like, what can I do more? You know, can you help me get more deals? So our guys and gals have been great. You know, I think the best way of looking at it is if you follow them, you know, follow them on social media and see what they say. You know, I know everyone says, well, how do we know that players are getting money? Go ask the basketball team who's taking care of them. You know, it's obvious. Instead of throwing vitriol at Liatu Latu for literally putting out a video for us saying, thank you, you know, for supporting me and my teammates for the season, and blasting the kid. Like, he was actually doing something nice. Wasn't his fault where we won and lost, or, you know, where we ended up. You know, again, think of it, if it was your child, and he's literally thanking someone for giving them a present, treat them with a little bit more respect. That would be my only complaint as someone who's doing this. But again, from the fan standpoint, I get the anger aspect of,
yeah, I mean, I think
it's based on wins and losses.
Well, and I think a lot of it is people not being particularly focused, and they don't know who their target is. And it's the blunderbuss approach is, I'm mad. I want to let everyone know I'm mad.
Right.
Well, Dave, we've never experienced that before.
Well, and it's just, I mean, it's, and you empathize with the emotion, obviously, as a, you know, somebody who may or may not be frustrated with the season, but it's also, it's unfocused and it doesn't help. And, you know, I want to touch on the funding aspect, because you talked about fans potentially pulling money from NIL, which I think you made a great point, but just to underscore that, I'm gonna explain it very frankly. Pulling money from the players is not going to affect Chip Kelly's job position in any way.
Correct.
So going into next year, it's going to be Chip Kelly, whether you pay $100 into NIL, $1,000 into NIL, or $0 into NIL. The only people being affected by that are, and just to underscore the players, there are other ways to exercise your displeasure. There are other ways to exercise your financial displeasure, but NIL is not the target there. So I just want to underscore that. I do want to talk about how to fund this thing properly, because there's this reality of donations into a program that is struggling. I won't say failing, that's a charged word, but struggling in the way that football has been on the field, where just general donations are hard to come by. It's twofold, but how can UCLA help the situation right now in terms of helping with NIL? And how do you convince fans to continue to give to something that is, in their mind, maybe struggling or a failure?
Well, one thing before we get there, though, let's just slight pin for a minute. Ken, I know when we're talking about how Men of Westwood functions, just talk before we look to the future, talk about why it does not behoove you to go public with how much each player is getting in their NIL deals.
We'll start there because
Dave, I just wanted to put all that to bed and then we'll go forward.
I know that transparency is right. That's the big word, right? That's the buzzword. You know, we're a black box. We don't know people don't know where the money's going, so on and so forth. Again, look at the players, right? I can specifically say, I think it's blatantly obvious what Mick Cronin believes. Mick and I have become very close friends. And this is not some kind of scheme outside of trying to win a championship for Mick, right? At the end of the day, I'm a Wooden Fund supporter. And I've given lots of time and money there and will continue to do so because, damn, I want it to be 95 all over again. The players wouldn't say, support Men of Westwood if they weren't being supported by Men of Westwood, right? Mick Cronin wouldn't be saying give to Men of Westwood if he didn't know exactly what was going on. And I wish we could tell all our fans exactly what was going on. But that means then SC knows what's going on in Arizona and Ohio State and Michigan. And what we don't need is someone thinking what we do or don't have, what we are or aren't paying, right? If we literally came out and said we're paying a Dembona $10, well, great. We've just given someone the number to beat. So why should we say that? And then someone, have to pay $15 because, Duke comes in and offers $14. It's a competitive situation, right? That's really what it comes down to. That also being said, in any way, shape, or form, much like other businesses, if you give more, right? Let's just use the Wooden Fund. I happen to be a very large donor there, so I've known more information over the years than someone who isn't at my level. And there's people above me that know more than me. Right? Because where you give is kind of what access you get. We've offered up access to the players. We've offered up access to the, what we call talent, right? People can go and have a dinner with a player or a coach. They can ask these questions. They can get that information in a more private setting. Putting it out, literally putting out our playbook online is akin to just losing the game. Right? Why are we giving?
That's essentially anybody else what you're saying. You're giving out your playbook if you did that.
Correct.
Yeah. I just wanted to define that because that's probably the most common question we get from bros, and it's very frustrating.
Yeah. No. I can understand that. The other thing that I would say is anybody who says, my dollar doesn't matter. Every dollar matters, right? You guys, and Dave, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe over the last year raised $250,000 for our basketball program. I mean,
yeah.
Right. So that is what you know, the other fun word that people like to use. That's what whales are giving. Bro is a whale in and of itself. So, you know, every dollar there is important because that allows us to get a $250,000 player or $225,000 players or $550,000. However, it's, you know, however we need to break it up, it is. When money is pulled, again, we've budgeted $250,000 because that's what the number is. Now, if someone says, well, you know, we're 6-6 and we don't like the way we beat Oregon State last night, so we're going to pull the buddy. That affects our future wins, right? That affects our future ability to do things. Whether it's Mick Cronin, whether it's for Chip Kelly, whether it's for the guy that replaces Chip Kelly or the guy that replaces Mick Cronin, right? Let's just be honest. All coaches are hired to be fired. So we need to have this ability, you know, if we want to affect change, again, going back to where I started, it's frustrating for me as a business perspective. I can't change things that would make my business better here. My business of Men of Westwood. I can't get a, you know, I can't force UCLA to work or cooperate in the way that I want them to. They're going to work and cooperate in the way they want to. I can't, you know, make a coach play a certain player who I might feel is better than someone playing, right? That's my fan perspective and everyone's entitled to that. But what we all can do as fans is show that we're behind our student athletes, right, in this new world order. I don't know how long this lasts. You know, if you asked me 3 years ago, if I'd be sitting here on a podcast with you guys talking about that I was running the NIL, I would tell you, you guys are crazy.
Well, that still, you know, would be true.
Well, that, yes. Yes, but I'm crazy in this instance with you guys. So, you know, at the end of that aspect, yes, UCLA should be paying, right? The schools should be paying their talent. We're not there. So to continue to argue this or come up with these ideas on how it should be done, it doesn't change from the fact of how it is being done, right? There's the reality of the situation, and then there's what we all want it to be. Until it gets it to where we all want it to be, we have to live in the reality. So again, whether or not we, you know, a recruit or a player or anything, you know, pans out or busts out, at the moment, it was the right decision from that coach. And if we're supporting that coach and we're supporting that program, we have the ability to attract better talent or the same talent, right? Or we have the ability to prove to the powers that be that the fan base is behind us and we can show and we can affect change, right? We can help get a better program for all of us moving forward. You know, that's just kind of my thing. Now, again, at the end of the day, I'm saying that from my literally having my Men of Westwood hat on, you know, taking it off as a fan, I'm with the general public, right? I'm with the, this is unacceptable, or how did we, you know, how did we lose to CSUN? I don't understand that, right? But we did, you know, but now going back and saying we recruited the wrong guys. No, you know, 4 months ago, we had one of the top classes in the country. And people saying, well, we got Euros because they're cheaper. No, I can tell you for a fact, they're not. They're not cheaper, and actually they're harder to get and they're harder to maintain, right? Because one, they're not in your backyard. Two, you have to get them through a different kind of education system. You know, Mick has to work to get them into school. And from an NIL perspective, I can't pay these guys on American soil. So they are operating under times where they either are getting, you know, one large check, or they have to wait till they go home, where their teammates are being able to do other things and profit throughout the year. It's not as easy or as simple as someone saying, well, they're cheaper. They're not. They were, you know, we had guys that were up until, you know, a week or two ago forecasted to be first round draft picks. So it's again, we're playing with young freshmen and we need to develop it. But now if we start to say, oh, you know, Adai Mara isn't the lottery pick we thought he was going to be, so we shouldn't pay him, we're never going to get the lottery pick that we think someone should be then. Because now we're the fan base that's fickle, that starts pulling money, right? It's the job of Mick Cronin and his staff to improve these guys, to also develop these guys. And now it's our job to figure out how to help them in future seasons to supplement recruits, right? This is an experiment that's 12 games in. Let's not, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's see where this goes.
Right. So this dovetails really well into Dave's question. If you remember, Dave, you want to just repeat it really fast?
If I can recall.
That's been, why I gave it to you, because I couldn't, but I knew it pertained.
The idea basically of what from a funding perspective, and I think there's a lot of questions here. Actually, one occurred to me that maybe precedes the rest is, and this is kind of a minute question, but a lot of people have had questions about, well, if I donate to Men of Westwood, it's not tax deductible. It's not a charitable contribution. I'm sure you've had that from even high dollar donors who are, kind of have to be educated on the process. But like, what's the suggestion for these people? Because what I've said to them, and this is someone who doesn't give six figures of charitable donations a year, so I might be talking out of my butt a little bit, but just give a little bit less, and that way you're giving yourself your own deduction.
The one thing that I truly hate about doing this is that I have to ask people, friends, colleagues for money, right? Mm-hmm. And that will never really become comfortable for me. That being said, we are not a charity. That is 100% true. We have had charitable partners that we have not made public because from a fundraising perspective, because those have been funded by the quote unquote whales, right? With someone who's going to give us a couple hundred thousand, $500,000, $1 million, whatever. And that charitable partner says, this is all I'm capable of doing, and I don't want to write, 1,000 receipts for $5 and track it that way. There's a lot more accounting that needs to be done. So there's that. Right. And we're also, as I said before, we're having issues right now with some of our charitable partners because of the IRS things. Right. And in terms of what can be an athlete be paid to do an appearance, there's a market value that they're okay with so they don't jeopardize their 501c3 status. Okay. So that's one thing. We are a business, right? As I said, we are a marketing talent agency. You can call us an ad agency. That's how we're structured. So you can, and what we've had a lot of people do, right, is give money as a business expense. You're hiring us to promote your product or yourself. That is a legal thing to do. I'm not going to give you tax advice. Talk to your own accountants about that, right? That's that's always our little caveat. But you can give money. We give you a contract as a donor. If you're giving, $10,000, we'll give you a contract saying you're hiring us and our stable of talent to help promote your product. Again, every player on the men's and women's basketball team has a deal with Men of Westwood. We had every player but one on the bowl roster for football have a deal with Men of Westwood, right? So we have the access to these players, and then we bring them in to do deals specifically.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick Six, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick Six has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
That's one way. The other way is if you are, again, a business or a person and say, hey, I want Dave Woods to represent my product, you can specifically hire us to get Dave Woods, right? Or Tracy Pearson, or again, Dylan Andrews, or anybody, right?
I'd go for Dylan Andrews something. Among those three. If
probably, right? Ethan Garbers, you can pick and choose who you want. It's no different than, again, on the website of those our VIP experiences. If you want to pay to go play golf with someone, you can pick who you go to play golf with. If you want to have dinner with someone, right? Or you can say, hey, I just want to, you know, I want to hang out with, you know, three basketball players and I have this time to do it. Who are the three that can make it? So that all of that is donor dictated. And I think there's this fallacy that you don't have control of your dollars. You don't have, you know, the donor doesn't have control of the dollars, much like we don't have control over who we recruit, right? Again, as you said, half a GM, right? Ultimately it's John Savage's job to recruit his baseball team. It's Mick Cronin's job to recruit his basketball team, Corey Close, Chip Kelly, et cetera. So those people, you know, our coaches have to bring the ones acquiring the talent. We are the ones who will help enhance, you know, maintain that talent. We're not out there, you know, recruiting the guys. You know, I'm not, again, if I went to go tell Mick Cronin who to, you know, start at center, that might be my last day on earth. And it might be my last day on earth if I told him who to recruit to play center. So, you know, we have a say in this. We have a big say in helping shape the future of the program, right? We have the ability to, the more the fan base raises, and I don't care if it's a dollar donation or $1 million donation, every dollar counts.
We do care.
Well,
if you've got $1 million to give to NIL, we do care.
I do care. But I'm saying I don't care if you're giving something. Like something is better than nothing.
Right.
People who say, hey, I'm not going to give because, you know, this donor isn't giving. How do you know that donor isn't giving? We're not telling you what people are giving, right? I can tell you that because I know I have permission to say Troy Aikman has supported Men of Westwood for football. I will never tell you what Troy Aikman gave. Because there's going to be some people who say that's all he gave, he's worth that. Or people are going to go, I can't believe he gave that much. And you know what Troy Aikman doesn't need? Criticism over what he did or did not do for us. What he needs is thank you for supporting your alma mater. That's it. We need more Troy Aikmans, right? That's just what we do need. But we also need more, you know, Jims and Joes and Janes and everyone. You know, and not thinking that, well, if I don't know that he isn't given, I'm not going to give.
Makes sense. And as Ken said, Bro is a whale in the aggregate. So right now, basketball, I'm just looking at the numbers now, it's 264,000 in the last, call it year, year and a half. And then football is... And this is even with, you know, kind of the struggle fest from this past season, 140,000. So I guess the a lot of people have had questions about the competitive factor with fundraising at UCLA. And you know, I think some of this is somewhat natural in that there's entrenched focus on certain things. You know, people are people. If I'm a salesman for WIF or I'm trying to get donations for that, you know, that's my focus. That's my job. But in your ideal vision of a world, what is the way that all of this starts rowing together?
I would tell you that it needs, you know, it needs a complete and total you know, it's a massive shift, right? The business of college athletics has changed. And again, I briefly touched upon it earlier. If we played in the Alamo Bowl last night, UCLA would have made millions of dollars more. Men of Westwood would not. So right. The fact that I feel sometimes that we are treated as a competitor, we're not. You know, I can't say this to UCLA enough. We're not a competitor. We are an enhancement on your product. And actually, we're right now the key component, right? It's the Wild West out there for talent acquisition. So to continue to focus in on the old school way of thinking, I think it's detrimental as a fan to where I want us to be. You know, again, take me out of the NIL equation for a moment. As a fan, I want to be winning the last game of the year. I want us to have a chance to compete, to play in the last game of the year. And the more that we kind of
analogy, can I provide an analogy first?
Sure.
People out there, what do you think is more important to a professional baseball team? The payroll for the team or stadium enhancements? That's the question. Really, because when you're donating to the university, and this is, as Ken said, he's a donor, there's value there. Absolutely. But the most important thing for any organization that is paying the talent is the pay for that talent. The reason the Dodgers were able to just go get Ohtani and Yamamoto, because they had the money to pay the players. And doesn't really matter who the coach is. Doesn't really matter where they play. They're going to be pretty good at baseball next year, because they got those guys. So just think about it like that when you're trying to decide where your dollars are going to go.
Right. And once you get an Ohtani, right, you can do your stadium enhancements will come because you're going to get ancillary revenue across the board. Right.
And what we're hinting at here, though, we're kind of telling the fan, but that's not really our target of what we're kind of poking around it. We're saying that it's WAF is being competitive with Men of Westwood. Correct.
That's how I feel at times. Yes. Okay. Look, I will tell you, Josh Rebholz has been a great ally. He is, and there are, you know, starts and stops, right? For every step forward, we take two steps back on certain things when we're trying to deal with the administration in WAF. You know, I will, you know, to air dirty laundry, for lack of a better term. I don't know if people who are watching this not get the Bruin Blue magazine, which is a donor magazine. It was all about NIL this past month. And and there was a whole main article on what UCLA is doing for NIL, including like the Westwood Exchange and some of their educational programs that they're doing. There wasn't one mention of us. And that to me is are you kidding me? It's very well established. We have put in a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money to help our alma mater. And for us not to be included in that was short-sighted, to say the least, in my mind. That also being said, I don't necessarily blame certain people versus others. It's the systemic issue at UCLA. It's siloed, right? I have to pay a licensing fee for our student athletes to use the four letters in any advertisements they do with NIL. I've been barred from filming our players on certain locations on campus because we would have to pay a royalty fee to some other aspect of campus. Right. So like, for example, if you guys pay attention, again, I'm going to use one of our first sponsor, but you know, a great sponsor of ours, Paige. Before the Maryland game, our guys wore some of their Paige outfit out of Mo Austin into Pauley Pavilion. You know, it's kind of like a tunnel walk that they do in the NBA games, and, you know, and our women have done that too. They have to literally walk along the side of Mo Austin and underneath Wasserman Center into that tunnel to get into Pauley, because if they walked in the front door of Pauley, we would be have to pay a royalty fee because we're showing Pauley Pavilion in a picture. Now, the three of us could go take a selfie in front of Pauley Pavilion and post that and be fine. To me, that is you got to be kidding me. We are trying to help you and raise money, raise brand awareness. You know, so there are these fights that I have or I don't understand. And again, it's not that the people who I deal with aren't sympathetic to it or don't want to help, but it's a bigger, you know, it's a bigger machine that's going on that is literally trying to.
It's a broken it's a broken situation.
It's a Byzantine system.
Yeah.
Yes. No. Like, you know, we did a Sunday selection show last year. I had to rent out Mo Austin. I literally had to rent out the facility that the guys were living in.
Now, for lack of a better term, is this what other NIL collectors have to do, or is this?
I would tell you it's probably not. Now, do we get preferential rates? I believe so. I would hope so. I can't speak for others. You know, I can only speak for my frustrations. And you know, I hope that it gets better. You know, as we go along and as this, you know, continues to move forward. But again, it's you know, it depends on who I'm dealing with or who we're dealing with. And you know, and what their moment is. And again, there's education. I have lots of friends in the Wooden Athletic Fund. I've had lots of coaches in the system over the years. And there are some people who understand what's going on, and there are other people who are like, you know, it's not what I need to be worried about.
That was actually my next question, because you have told me before, one of your biggest, perhaps your biggest challenge is educating donors on what NIL is. UCLA has a donor base which is skews a little older, you would say, kind of set in their ways. Initially, from what I understand, they were resistant to NIL, well, and still are. It was kind of a thing, oh, that's just a fly-by-the-night kind of thing that's come in and will probably go away. It's not going to be NCAA compliant. We'll just stay away from it. So there was that resistance, but there was also a misunderstanding of exactly what it was. And you've told me some of your biggest challenge is educating some of the established UCLA donors on exactly what NIL is and how it can help the program and how it trickles down from NIL, like we were talking about, the talent acquisition over in improving the seating in the stadium. So talk a little bit about how challenging that's been to educate donors and where you are with that.
I mean, you know, we're at that every day, right? And I don't care. And again, I don't mean to say it like that, but I don't care if you're the dollar donor or the $1 million donor. Everyone needs to be educated. I don't care if you're the intern, you know, in a university at UCLA or any other school, or, you know, or your athletic director. Everyone needs to be educated on this, and, you know, everyone in between, right? We can't be, you know, the only ones who are struggling at this. You know, the standpoint is, once you're educated, right, or once you have the help, and again, I can't say this with enough, you know, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is here, but I don't think on people, maybe people do, but what, regardless on where we are in terms of wins and losses in this current season, what a special coach we have in Mick Cronin, because we have a man who completely wants to win at the highest level, wants to be at UCLA, understands the barriers at UCLA, understands the importance of NIL, and is out there working his ass off every day. You know, there are times where I talk to him more than I probably talk to my wife. You know, there are times over the summer where he was helping wherever he could on days where he should have just been recharging for the season. You know, he literally wants to know what's going on. He'll talk to donors. He will force the issue. And that is something in this day and age that's great, but I'm also very concerned about it because I don't need him burned out. He needs to focus in on, you know, recruiting and winning games.
Yeah, that's not what he is. He's not going to, you know, he's going to burn himself out. You know, that's what he's
But you get what I'm saying.
You have concern, Ken.
yes. But we need that buy-in across the board, right? And that, once you have that buy-in, then I believe more people will be bought in. But we also can't operate on this, you know, hope and a prayer, right? Which is, oh, if UCLA does this, then I'll do that. That doesn't work because where's the IOU, right? Where there's nothing that guarantees that windfall. Do I believe that there's money on the sideline right now? 100% I do. But until I have it, there's always going to be money that I believe is going to be on the sideline. And I think that if we did a better job, you know, messaging where money goes to, and not even me, you know, I think we're trying to be as transparent as we can be, right? Our money goes to the student athletes. The student athletes, if you, again, follow them, they will promote us. You can see who we have, right? Ask them, you know, if you interact with them, you know, they should be able to do that. And again, I'm sorry to jump around, but that's also a key component in our contract, which is part of the work that they have to do is they have to promote Men of Westwood or Champion of Westwood to recruits, because they can talk about what they're making, what they have to do. And if it's literally our job is to help recruit the next guy or the next girl, that's what we're getting paid for, because, you know, the coaches can't say Men of Westwood's paying, you know, a point guard X. I can't talk to a recruit and tell a recruit that I'm going to pay, you know, if you come, we'll pay you this. You know who can? Our point guard. He can say they are taking care of us by paying us X, having us, you know, we have to do Y, but we also get, you know, A, B, and C in terms of ancillary benefits, because we have sponsors who give us clothing. We have a sponsor, again, another marketing advertising deal, Burst Oral Care, that literally is giving the team, both men and women's basketball, free dental care, like orthodontics, you know, any kind of dental procedure that they need. And that could be very expensive. Plus, yeah, they're giving them, you know, tools to keep themselves healthy, and they're paying a marketing fee for the access to this. So we have all of these things that if players can promote it, they're our best avenue of doing it, right? Because players, you know, high school players are looking at the college players. That's who they meet on recruiting trips. You know, if someone's going out, this is what we want. You know, as much as the, you know, the quote unquote old school thinking of, you know, get the hottest cheerleader to take them out to dinner, we also need at that dinner them to say, these are the, what's going to happen is you're going to get X, Y, and Z. And if that's the case, where we need is the better messaging, which is we're going to the Big Ten. We're supposedly making all this extra money. Where's that money going to, right? Anytime someone tells me about transparency, I want them to think about it from the other side. I give money to the Wooden Fund. I don't know if my money is going to the men's basketball program or the rowing team, or if it's going to pay for, you know, pens and paper, or if it's paying for someone's expense account. There's, you know, I know where it ends up. It ends up in a big pot, but my dollar, I don't know where my specific dollar goes.
Got it. Let's knock off a few more little common comments from the forum. Obviously, UCLA has some huge, UCLA, the university, has some huge donors out there. Mm-hmm. David Geffen, various others that give hundreds of millions of dollars. So a common comment is, why can't Men of Westwood tap that donor base? If you could comment about that a bit, just to maybe dispel that little common fallacy.
I'm going to say, one, who's to say we haven't? That's number
exactly.
one.
Yep.
Two, not everybody loves sports the way we do. You know, everyone, again, everyone's entitled to spend their money the way they want to spend their money. You know, my wife probably thinks I'm a little bit nuts that I want to go to all these games and I spend all my time doing it.
You golf a lot too, though, Ken.
I have not golfed a lot lately, Tracy, because this has been a lot. But yes, but that's another.
He gets out there and then he just calls you and then he doesn't end up golfing.
No, I, you know, I do golf a lot. And, you know,
Ken won a pro-am tournament like about a year ago, right?
Yeah, I did. Well, I did as a team, so I don't want to say it was me.
But you care. You can say
yeah, I didn't. There's no chance I care. Well, yes, my high handicap probably carried the team. But like my wife has never and will never golf with me. That's not her idea of fun. Right. So she's entitled to do whatever she wants to do, even though I'm choosing to do something else. I believe that's the case for any one of our fans, you know, and I don't care if you're a UCLA grad, a UCLA fan, like if you're into sports, be into sports. If you want to cure cancer, cure cancer. There's nothing wrong with choosing what you want to do. But to say that we haven't tapped into them is a little bit ridiculous. Again, we've asked, you know, I know that people have said, like, where are you guys advertising? You know, we advertise at Pauley Pavilion, right? We advertise at the Rose Bowl, even though our signs at the Rose Bowl are field level, so the players block it out. It's Men of Westwood night on Wednesday night at the Stanford game. So we'll have a large presence there. But we always have a presence at Pauley Pavilion, right? We have had a presence on your form, you know, because to quote Glengarry Glen Ross, those are the good leads. You know, we don't need, you know, a billboard on Pico and Sepulveda. Why don't we just go where the Bruins live? That all being said, I can't make someone give money and I'm not going to force someone to give money. If they want to because they love the program and that's how they spend their time, then I hope you support. And again, I'll say thank you to whatever you give, because it is in theory insane where the system is that the fans are paying for it. But instead of complaining that the fans have to pay for it, because complaining about it ain't going to fix it right now. Let's not get so far behind, you know, the cart. We were way behind the game to start this. Let's not keep putting ourselves in a farther position, because there's no guarantee when this ends or how this ends. So for the time being,
or putting up a post about a huge UCLA donor to the UCLA hospital and the medical, and then making the suggestion that Men of Westwood should maybe reach out. Like, you were never aware of those people, right?
Right. Look, we've talked, you know, we had a big event for some basketball alums. You know, we've talked to them. We've had basketball alums that want to get involved, but I will tell you this, and again, I don't blame these guys, right? NIL is here because the genesis was why are athletes not profiting off what they're doing and only the university, right? And we can go in two different tangents on why that's correct and why that's incorrect. But a lot of these athletes who we've talked to who have the capability to give a lot are not going to give what our fan wants them to give, because they're still bitter they didn't get paid.
Yeah, let's really underscore this. Everyone says all the UCLA, NBA Bruins, NFL Bruins, why don't you tap into that? And I know this pre-NIL. They are not traditionally big donors to any program. It's just not the way it works. You're going to start talking right now about why mentally and emotionally they're not, but I can tell you, I can attest that in doing this job, I know they are never big donors to their former programs. They just generally, they aren't. Okay, go ahead.
No, nothing more needs to be said, right? Now we have a couple we're talking to, like I've been talking to Matt Barnes for a while, and Matt's trying to come up with ways where he can help with his platform, how he can help, you know, distribute that kind of connectivity. And again, I'm not going to say to Matt, well, hey, you know, you have this show and you're popular and you have this great following. I don't want that. you made $10 million a year for how many years? You should just fund the basketball program. He gave his time, his energy, his blood, sweat, and tears. And a lot of these guys don't, and again, I'm not saying this about Matt by any stretch of the imagination, or Troy Aikman, or any of these guys who have helped, but they feel one way about their time. Maybe it's not the same as me. Maybe it's not the same as somebody else. And it's also, again, where's their mindset on this, right? Well, I played for free. Why am I paying someone, right? Or the guy we got isn't good enough. Like, again, they're also fans in and of themselves. Just because people have the means to do it doesn't mean they're required to do it. And every time someone says, well, I'm not going to do it until someone else does it, they could be saying the same thing. I can tell you that a lot of our quote unquote whales are on the forum, and they look and say, I've had the comment, well, if they're not going to contribute, why do I need to bankroll everything? I have to bankroll firing a coach. I have to bankroll hiring a coach. I have to bankroll an arena. I have to bankroll this. And then some of our fans say, let's fly a banner, and it's like, why couldn't that money be used to help us? Again, as a fan, I say, if you want to fly a banner, fly a banner, right? And I know that you guys, not you guys, but the fans who did that, did a dollar for dollar match. And I thank you for that.
I did not fly the plane.
Yeah.
I just want to make that clear.
It was a common conception that Dave was out there with his goggles and his scarf flying that biplane. But yeah,
I was in the gunner's seat.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. I got that wrong.
Yeah. No. So, yes, we are trying our best, and every time someone says you should do it this way, then go do it. Like, contact us. No, I'm being dead serious. Like, I don't feel like me and my buddies who are doing this with me, and the people who have volunteered their time and their energy and their money, we're not better than anybody. We were just tired of waiting for someone else. So if you're tired or you don't like something that's how it's being done, contact us. Now, I don't need, with all due respect, I don't need comments on your t-shirt design needs to be better. Our t-shirt design was specifically for a billboard, so it was blatantly obvious when Mick Cronin wore it that it said Men of Westwood. Do we want better designs? Yes. Are they coming? Yes. But until I sell thousands of t-shirts, I'm not going to worry about the next t-shirt. I need to worry about the next quarterback. I need to worry about the next point guard, the offensive lineman. I need to worry about those things. That's where our focus is. Again, I know, we have an overarching marketing deal with IMG Learfield, who's the media rights holder at UCLA. So, I think originally, like when Tracy, whenever you and I did our first interview, people were like, said, oh, well, they're advertising on the radio. That's, that's a waste of money. We're not advertising on the radio. You're not going to catch our spot on K-Rock. You know where you're going to get it? You're going to get, Will McClendon saying during the basketball game, support Men of Westwood, now back to Josh and Tracy for the broadcast. And you know what that is? That's work. So we got to pay him for that. And we're promoting the product for someone who should be listening to the game. That, right, again, is our core audience.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. When we've done stuff and someone said, oh, we saw they have a Facebook page. Who uses Facebook? Who cares? It's free. Yeah, I'm not on Facebook. It's connected to the Instagram account, right? And it's like, who cares if we're on there? If there's an old whale or there's an old donor or someone, skewed to who still uses Facebook, and we get a $5,000 donation because we had a Facebook page that we never go and look at, again, this is not a criticism. This, this is not where we should be focused on, like, oh my God, they wasted their time putting up a Men of Westwood Facebook page. Yeah, we did. We have one. We have a Twitter account. You get where I'm going.
Yeah, and so we're approaching hour and 15. I want to kind of get to a kind of a call to action here at the end, because you were talking about what big donors, what they might say when people are saying, oh, I'm going to pull my whatever $10 a month from NIL or whatever.
what's the point at which where you can point to that big donor and say, well, look how much, you know, small dollar donors have given, and that can be enticing. Like, what should be the goal for people listening, a lot of whom would be smaller dollar donors? What should be their goal? Like, because I shared some numbers, but what would you like to see from a giving standpoint? And given the lay of the land, given the situation with football, given the situation with basketball, where do you want to see people? How do you want to see them investing right now?
I just want to see them support. Honestly, Dave, like, it's not, again, it's not my place to tell anyone to give or not give. I'm never going to tell you if you gave a dollar, you could have afforded $2. Like, you know, I hope that everyone, you know, we have a great fan base, and this is not a, look, this is not a donor problem. Like, I want that well established. This is not a donor problem. This is an education problem. This starts from our side at Men at Westwood and Champion of Westwood. This is a UCLA administrative issue. This is a program, a coaching, you know, coaches, programs, everyone is involved, and that's where the blame should be, you know, should lie. If I don't do my job or our job here, if, you know, Josh Rebholz and Martin Jarman don't do their job, if Mick Cronin, Chip Kelly, John Savage, Corey Close, if they don't do their job, right? Like, we're all in this together. So it's, I don't blame the donors for giving or not giving. What I would say is it's a lot easier for the big ticket, you know, the whales, the big ticket donors to go, hey, we only have to, you know, we have to get seven players on basketball because the eighth has already been paid for. Right. You know, or, hey, we got eight, but now we're going to supplement, you know, number one, we're going to double him because we have that extra money, versus us always going and saying, I know you gave 100,000. I need you to give 120,000. So, if 10 people do it, we get the extra 200,000. Every dollar counts. That's the point here. Yes. $1 million is more important than a $1. There's no question. But if we lose the $1, we lose $250,000. And so, you know, that being said, I'm grateful for whatever anyone does, because, again, we're all fans and we all want to win. And it has not been fun lately. Let's just be honest about that. Like, it just hasn't. And we as a fan, right. But the fan base now can affect change, right? We can make sure that the quote unquote proverbial cup board isn't there, regardless, right? Again, when you say, I'm not going to support a coach, you're not supporting the coach because of what you believe that coach's ability is. So let's get some talent in there. So if the coach is going to hang himself, the coach will hang himself. But let's make sure that we have an argument for the next coach to go, we support you through thick and thin, because we support our student athletes, you know, the ones who wear the letters. We're trying to get the best people in here possible, and also understand, you know, the rumor mill will work overtime in NIL. You know, if there's issues or there's questions, we're available to answer them. We're not going to break confidentiality rules. I'm not going to put myself in, you know, in a firing squad position legally because someone doesn't, you know, to correct numbers that are out there. And I would also say, if you think you're helping by putting numbers out there, are you really? Look, I'll say this again. Basketball, we're in a good place. We can be in a lot better place. We're not struggling, but we need more to compete with the Dukes, the Kentuckys, the North Carolinas, et cetera, of the world. But we're doing okay. Football, we're struggling. There's no question about that. And the fan base, or Tracy or Dave, you guys can all take, you know, and extrapolate why you believe that's the case. And your answers aren't going to be wrong. But we are where we are because of that, right? And again, I wish I could affect change. I can't affect that change from a business decision right now.
Let me ask you this. Let's finish it off with this. You're obviously immersed in the whole NIL phenomenon. Where is this going, Ken?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew when
if
it would
end. I know you don't know. No one knows. Since you're so well-versed, speculate. We'll qualify this as speculation. What happens here?
I think in a year it will come down a little bit. I think because you won't have all these extra players that are out there. I think the COVID year really kind of threw everything out. You know, it kind of threw stuff into whack. I think your top players are going to get top dollar. I do think though that maybe I'm hopeful that there'll be the common thought of there's no reason that a college quarterback should be making more than Brock Purdy, you know, who has a chance to go to a Super Bowl, right? Like I think the more that we see freshmen get paid and then transfer is going to help kind of self-correct this situation. You know, if you ask me, if I was in control of our programs, or specifically football, I shouldn't say our, you know, football here, the idea of paying freshmen is beyond stupid at this point, because they're, especially these high level ones, you know, the ones that want, you know, these big deals. I mean, look, this problem is not endemic just to UCLA, right? It's not a UCLA football problem as much as people want to say, oh, we had a bad year, so we have, this is why people are leaving. Ohio State lost their starting quarterback. USC, right, our number one competitor, right, the arch enemy, lost their top recruit offensively and defensively this year. And how much did they pay? You know, that also being said, there's rumors out there that certain schools don't fulfill their obligations. So these kids aren't getting paid, you know, their full wage. And that's a reason for them to walk away from a program.
Would you say NIL is here to stay for the foreseeable future?
Yes, unfortunately.
So get on board, because we're a few years away from anything really happening that's going to change this. And it's,
well, and this will always be there, at least supplementary anyway, even true. Once they do, a TV contract share or whatever the hell it is.
Right. Again, we're in this sandbox now, so we can we can complain that we don't have the Tonka truck, or we can get ourselves the Tonka truck to play in the sandbox. Again, we're in control.
Get yourself the Tonka truck, everyone, and just provide some numbers for people, because you might be thinking, oh, Ken's saying a dollar, you know, but is my dollar really going to matter? As Ken said, we're essentially providing enough for a player for basketball. The average donation per month of the contributors so far is about $30 a month. So it's not a dollar, but your dollar would matter. I mean, the low end of that average is people paying as little as $3 to $5 a month. So if you've got money to spend and you want to support this stuff, and you're as crazy as, you know, everybody who's following sports, why not? Go for it. It's a coffee.
Right.
Do it.
Right. And, you know, again, take advantage of some of our opportunities to meet these great, like, they're great kids. And that's, I would tell you, that's the hardest part for me about doing this, is that I now watch a game in a completely different fashion, because I've gotten to know them as people. I've gotten to know their families. I know what change we're making into their lives. I get text now from players, you know, because we did something. Thank you. You know, you made my Christmas unbelievable, because I was able to go get something for mom. Right. Or,
along those same lines, I think you'll be okay with me revealing this. You gave Men of Westwood gave every UCLA football player, was it $500 as a Christmas gift for their NIL? And talk a little bit about what the response and the feedback you got from the players and their families for that.
It makes it all worth it. It really does. You know, the that component where it's like, oh my God, you know, I can go do this or I can go do that. You know, I'll tell you, just recently, we helped, a walk-on in a sport, gave him a little extra money so he wouldn't be in debt going into next year from his student loans, you know, and just like the emotional outburst of it, because we had something that we could do. And this is someone that probably most people won't know, right? But it was the right thing to do, right? I will tell you, the first NIL deal that Men of Westwood did was for Jules Bernard. And it was when Jules was going through the NBA draft process. So he was not enrolled in school, which means he's not privy to his stipends, which means he was going to be evicted. So we actually helped him and did an NIL deal with him so he could get a couple of months of rent. And to this day, he is beyond thankful, and he's in the NBA now, right? And we had nothing to do with him getting in the NBA. That was all him and Mick Cronin. But you talk about a kid who, whenever he's back in LA, just reaches out and says, is there anything I can do? Can I help this? Can I do that? You know, and you're talking that way. You're also talking another way, which, you know, we've got Jaime Hawk is coming into town next week, right? And Jaime continues to reach out whenever he can just to check in with us, like, what can he do to help? Because what we helped him, whatever we helped him with, and let's be honest, we didn't need to help him, right? He's going to be just fine. But he's so appreciative of it. And it's those human interest stories that are unbelievable. You know, again, you know, Latu is going to be a great NFL player and it's going to make a lot of money, you know, come the day of the draft. Go ask him. You know, he put out a video because he's like, I want to help thank people because they made a difference in my world. And it doesn't matter how much he got. He just had something versus having nothing. We are literally affecting change in people's lives. You know, meeting moms and dads of players because they come to a game that they would have never been able to afford a plane flight or a hotel room, and getting hugged by them makes it all worth it from the terrible times of negotiating with, you know, agents or handlers or people that want to profit off these kids. It's those moments when you know, people do it that way. You know, I will tell you, and I know we're running long, but I told you I can get on a soapbox and go. You know, we took the basketball team to a football game, a Lions Chargers game, or Chargers Lions, whatever. And we had some donors with us, and really we had my fam, like my wife came to that, and the guys just going up to her and calling her the mom of Men of Westwood. You know, it's endearing, right? It's cute. It's funny, but it also shows that we've got kids that are just unbelievable. You know, Christmas morning, look, I'm Jewish. I don't celebrate Christmas, but Christmas morning I had 13 texts from basketball players. Merry Christmas, Ken, to you and your family. Thank you for everything. You know, I had it from football players. It's that you can all, you know, we all as fans can have that opportunity. Take advantage of it. We're here to help facilitate that. Get to know these people, because ultimately, at the end of the day, they're great people. They're Bruins. That's, we all have that in common. And, you know, don't blame them for the failures or successes of people above them, right? Let them stand on their own two feet. Let, you know, judge them for who they are. And I think you'll understand why we continue to do this when it's against all the odds of you know, everything that we're up against. And look, we're not making money off this. This is not, you know, this is, again, I'm tired of getting on a plane thinking we're going to lose. I want to get on a plane and come home with a trophy. So I appreciate all the fans, and I appreciate you guys.
So Dave and I talked about it. We want to offer you something. This is our own special gift. We want you to have your own forum, the Ken Graywer Forum, so you can answer all questions all on Dave and I think that's a fantastic gesture that you would love to have when you can.
Oh, that's is that a present?
I'm couching it as one. Yes.
What if we give you banning ability too?
Look, wow, you put me on the spot. No, I'm happy if fans want to ask, you know, serious, you know, questions, and, you know, we will do our best to answer them. But I hope everyone understands, you know, I have no problem if you guys, if we want to, you know, change my account or change one of our accounts or just start a new account, like a Men of Westwood account, you know, and where we can go on and answer, or we can do, you know, Q&As every so often. but we're not going to get into the weeds on stuff because we just can't, unfortunately, at certain points.
I think Q&As periodically is good enough. We don't want to, believe me, Dave and I understand how much message boards can take.
No. We understand the curse we would be offering.
We would much rather, right. It's not just, and it's a time consuming curse. So yeah. We wouldn't do that to you.
No, but Q&As would be a good idea.
That's our gift, Ken. That's our gift. We're not going to.
For not doing it. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
All right. We got to end this. We got to call it a day. This has been, I think, really educational. I think everyone's going to take a lot away from it. So,
Ken, next time, could you come and talk, elaborate a little bit more and just instead of those one word answers? It was really frustrating
You need to take away my soapbox. I told you, Tracy.
Yeah. Well, it's just tough because we have to keep prompting you, you know?
Yeah.
I know. I know. It's the best broadcast Tracy's ever done. He barely spoke.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, my vocal cords. You got that done, Ken. Yeah. Yep. All right. Yeah. Well, this has been really pleasant. Thanks, Ken. Really appreciate you coming on, educating everybody about the situation. I'll drop some links in the story for anybody to donate to basketball, football, and Champion of Westwood. So get in there if you were compelled from listening to this. And thanks again, Ken.
And maybe reach out and show a little gratitude towards Ken. Again, I mean, he didn't really get into it. He's doing this. He's taking up all of his time. This is a business that he's doing. He's making no money out of it. It's just because he's driven as the ultimate Bruin fan. He wants to get on a plane thinking that team's going to win. If there's ever any resentment towards Men of Westwood, that gets me madder than anything that could happen right now, that there should only be gratitude towards Ken Grayware for everything he's doing.
Look, I'll take criticism. We're not perfect. But again, let's keep our eye on the prize here, which is we're all doing this together. We all want to win, right? The Bruin Report community is a community because we're all passionate about this. So let's remember that. And again, if there's anything that you want to reach out, go to the website, shoot us an email. We will get back to you. If we don't, we're busy, but we will get back to you, as quickly as possible. Support us in any way you can. We appreciate that. Come to events when we have them. We'll be having some more soon. And pay attention to us on social media through Bruin Report website, so on and so forth. Everyone, again, thanks for all your time, your help, and most importantly, your money. Because it's made a difference in a lot of kids' lives.
All right. Thank you, Ken. And we'll be back again next week.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.